Welcome to the Assembling Inclusion Podcast. On this show, we feature different programs, individuals, and initiatives focused on being more inclusive of individual needs. We invite you to learn right alongside us. If you want some additional resources or access to our courses, please visit our website or follow us on social media. But for right now, let's get right to the episode. In 2015, Travis Davis presented a TEDx talk about the importance of social inclusion in education. Today, we're going to be talking to Travis about that speech and its overall impact since it's been presented. In addition, we'll be discussing his experiences and the work he's been doing since giving that talk. We discuss the importance of inclusion within education and some takeaways for schools who are looking to become more authentically inclusive of disability. So let's check it out. Hello and welcome back to the Assembly Inclusion Podcast. I'm here today with Travis Davis. We're going to be talking about a lot of different areas of Travis's background, different things he's involved in. So I'm really excited to dive into this conversation today. Travis, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you so much for having me today, Katie.
Just to start us off, I always like to have people share a little bit about themselves and their background. So tell us all about you.
Sure. Well, I'll try to keep it as concise as possible. I was born and raised in Albuquerque, New Mexico. When I was born, I was diagnosed with cerebral palsy, more specifically spastic diplegia. So my walking is affected because of the CP. So growing up, I used crutches, a walker, and also a wheelchair. Now, I currently use crutches for day-to-day use, and I use a wheelchair for longer distances. So if I'm going to the mall or to Target or some places that require more walking, I will use a wheelchair. I got my bachelor's from Azusa Pacific University in Southern California in English, and I got my master's in adapted physical education from the University of New Mexico. I have experience coaching wheelchair basketball, playing wheelchair basketball, playing a number of different adaptive sports. And I have been an educator. Well, I've been in education for quite some time, starting out substitute teaching. And then I taught high school English. And then in 2015, I gave a TEDx talk on social inclusion in education and the importance of asking questions about disability in the classroom and not being afraid to have those conversations.
And I really did enjoy your TED talk. I listened to it again earlier today just to refresh myself. And I'm going to make sure I link it in the show notes too for anybody listening who wants to check it out as well, because it's definitely worth a listen. One of the things I took away, I took a lot away from the talk. So I should start with that. But you did talk about how when you were in school, you had mentioned the idea of playing, I think it was kickball, right? Mm-hmm. With your friends, and then eventually leading to wheelchair basketball in high school. And I didn't realize you have a master's, you said, in adaptive physical education. Mm-hmm. Did your experiences playing wheelchair basketball and adaptive sports in high school, did that lead you in that direction toward the master's?
Kind of. So when I was substitute teaching first about like 10 or so years ago, I started coaching middle school basketball, and I really enjoyed just the coaching aspect of it. And I think as I got older and I wanted to get more experience and involved with higher education on that level, I started to inquire about the master's in physical education. And something that was really intriguing that the master's program had was a concentration in adapted physical education. And so looking into that more, I just thought it would be a good idea and just to learn more about disability, my disability, and then just the disability community in general. And then when you combine that with sports and the background that I had, I thought it would be a good fit.
That's pretty cool, because I honestly haven't heard of that many programs that have a focus specifically on adaptive physical education. So that's really interesting. I'm sure different universities have it, but I just personally have never heard of one. So I think that's really cool.
Well, thank you.
So in your TED talk, you tell the story about how you, I think you were substituting, you said at the time, and you mm-hmm. talked to one of your classes during the morning meeting and you kind of opened up mm-hmm. about your disability and then trying to lead the conversation about disability in general. I know the story from the TED talk, but can you tell our listeners what prompted you to start and facilitate that conversation with your class?
I remember one time I was in a middle school English class and I was doing the lesson and one of the students had raised his hand and asked why I used crutches, or he brought up my crutches because they were in plain sight. And I was kind of debating in my head, you know, I should just not bring it up or just kind of brush it to after the lesson or just kind of talk about it then. And I opted to do that. So I shared my story or how I use crutches and my disability to the students. And then afterwards, I went to the middle school administrator and I shared with him what just happened and also, you know, kind of figure out like, what are like the next steps? Do more students have questions about it, just like that one particular student? And so that prompted me to speak in front of the whole middle school and have that conversation. And it was really, I think, an insightful conversation or talk that I gave based off the responses. I think that they got a lot out of it.
That's really good. I always feel like middle schoolers are so open in general, which mm-hmm. is always helpful. I always like to say they have no filter when it comes to asking questions. They want to know everything, and which is great. So you said that the feedback to that conversation was good. What was the middle schooler's actual response, or what changes did you see after you had that conversation with them?
Well, I think that they were more empathetic. I think right away, I saw that a lot of them had questions about disability, but were afraid to ask. It was just something that maybe they were taught not to bring up because they didn't want to offend anybody. And so definitely afterwards, they felt like they could have more open conversations about it.
That's really great. I was a special education teacher. I feel like that was always something that was. So sometimes people were like, no, like you should keep your disability hidden, quote unquote. Mm. I prefer the approach that you were taking, which is let's talk openly about it because it was a part of them. It's a part mm-hmm. of their life. And so they should be able to own it and talk about it and answer their peers' questions. So I like that you were the model for that for your school. So after that situation, what was your next step? Is there anything else you did in relation to disability inclusion within the school community?
No, I don't think that further steps were taken. I think at that point, I was able to dialogue with them more about it and just to be more open. And I think taking that experience and then bringing it to my TEDx talk was really important. And that was like the important next step. So, you know, I had the conversation with that student, then I gave the talk, and then I applied to be a TEDx speaker using that information.
So you took it from the school to a larger stage, which is exciting. And also it's been viewed so many times. I forget the exact number. I looked this morning and now I can't remember the number.
It's okay. I don't keep track of the of the numbers. So I'm glad it's still getting views.
Well, I think it's a topical and important. And I think a lot of schools are struggling with that idea of inclusion, or they're saying they're inclusive and maybe they're not being as inclusive as they should be. So sure. I do think it's very relevant still, even though it was a couple of years ago, I think sure. it's still just as relevant and important today. At the end of your talk, you kind of gave like listeners a call to action, which former English teacher, I greatly appreciated in the speech, by the way, like tell the audience what to do next. It was what I always told my students to do. So you had asked everyone to ask questions and not be afraid to have conversations. Is that advice still, you know, how many years later, that you would still give to students, to teachers who are looking to talk about disability inclusion? Or is there anything else you would add to that advice?
Well, I think that at that time, my experience was that disability wasn't talked about as much. And now, 2023, I think there has been greater strides made in that area. So I do think that is still good advice, but I also think that more people are taking the initiative to do that without me or another person having to say that. And I think that there are ways and initiatives and other things that are going above and beyond just asking questions and having those conversations. So I think it's a bit of both. I think that advice is still important and relevant, but at the same time that there is definitely other things happening to go above and beyond that.
I think that's a great point. Even from my own perspective, I started teaching in 2015 and I left the classroom in 2021. So I think even in that time too, there was a shift in starting, people starting to open up a little bit, which is exciting to see. My students started to take more ownership of their disability, saying like, oh, I have this and that's what this means. And I know we still have a long way to go, but it is nice to see that growth. What's been going on with your work? Is there any other things that stand out that you're working on right now?
I do have a talk coming up in May for the United Cerebral Palsy Foundation. And so I was invited to speak at their annual conference in Las Vegas. So I'm really excited to share with a bunch of leaders and individuals who really make the United Cerebral Palsy chapters happen. And just being able to go to an event and share my story and how I've been able to accomplish certain things through adversity, I think will impact a lot of people that I will be presenting to. So that's something that is coming up. And, you know, I also gave another talk to a different private school here in Albuquerque. And yesterday I met with the middle school administrator to talk about like, how can we expand upon the talk? Because it, like the previous school I was at, it was well received. And so we're also talking about doing the 5-part series on my podcast to just interview the middle school students that were there, and then other maybe former students that I had or some of the other administrators there at the school. So I think the ideas that we talked about yesterday, I think will really make this something special.
Oh, that'll be really interesting to see those conversations come out. I was going to ask you, because you talk to a lot of different schools, right? At this point, a lot of different organizations. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming based on the fact that you had like a post-session conversation, you're doing continuing work with these organizations. What do you think has been the impact on each of those?
Well, I don't necessarily know if I could quantify the impact. I took two classes in grad school, educational statistics and survey of education. And those were like the hardest for me just because I'm not a math guy. And a lot of the verbiage and the methodology was really hard for me to grasp. But I do remember, reading essays and research studies and how to quantify and qualify. And that just was really difficult. I think that, to answer your question, when I was teaching, it was difficult to really know what the impact was besides the grades that the students were getting on the tests. Like example, yesterday when I brought up the idea of doing the podcast episode and that idea was well received, but then we talked about what it could look like, something bigger than that. And so I think that could be something that I could quantify as like, okay, this is been well received and, we're turning it into like a podcast episode. I mean, here and there, there have been students that I've had in the past that reached out to me on social media for different questions or things that they were working on in college that related to disability. So that was always really cool to hear from students that I've had in the past.
And I think that's perfectly fine for impact. Totally not expecting a statistical
for sure. Yeah.
response. I much prefer the anecdotal qualitative responses to how there's been an impact on your work so far. But let's talk about your podcast. So it's called Off the Crutch, right?
Correct.
And you focus on specifically sharing voices related to disability. So let's talk about it. What made you want to start actually recording your podcast?
So I started in 2020, right after the pandemic started. And so I had a lot of free time on my hands, and the audio recording stuff has always been an interest of mine. So being able to record it and do all the things needed for a podcast wasn't very difficult for me. Basically, it was coming up with the content. And so starting out with interviewing people that knew me, my friends and things like that. And then it kind of snowballed into finding people with different disabilities through social media or LinkedIn. And then also finding individuals who have cerebral palsy. That was also something that I really wanted to share, other people's stories with cerebral palsy. And then also my experiences with CP.
And I'll make sure to link to your show in the show notes too.
Thank you.
Take a look, especially because you have those new episodes coming too. So sure. They'll be really exciting. I was checking out, I don't remember which app I was viewing on. I saw it was an interview episode was the most recent one I had seen.
Yeah, I do a lot of interviews, and I think that I enjoy listening to other people share their story. And I think that is one way to get it out there. And, you know, disability, it's so vast and it's not black and white. And there's so many different perspectives when it comes to disability. So I mean, there's a lot there. And I think maybe down the line, I will maybe focus on something more specific than just disabilities, because you have different subsets, you have accessibility, you have, you know, adaptive sports, you have dance and other areas that relate to disability. And then you also have specific disabilities, whether it's cerebral palsy, spina bifida, spinal cord injury, invisible disabilities, and so forth.
Oh, yeah. I think that's what's nice about the podcast is that it can expand into so many territories and evolve as you go along. But I've seen that firsthand, even recording episodes for this show. It's amazing how many perspectives there are, people who have the same disability, having totally different perspectives and experiences, which is just to be expected. Everybody's different. Organizations doing different things and having different focuses and missions. And I'm amazed by how many different opinions are out there. So that's what's great about a podcast. Like, there are so many different avenues that you can take depending on, you know, I feel like as I evolve, the podcast evolves. So
sure. Yeah, for sure.
I did want to ask. So, I mean, I know you do a lot of consulting based work with, you know, social inclusion and disability inclusion. If you were, and this is kind of a hard question, I feel like, to answer, because there's no one size fits all answer, but what advice would you give to like a school or organization who was just trying to start the process of looking inward and being more inclusive of disability in general?
Well, I would ask them what they want to accomplish, because again, with disability, there's so many facets to it. And then there's so many objectives, and what one school may be looking for may not, you know, be applicable to another school. And I don't think you can necessarily just blanket or have like a one size fits all solution to disability, even if other people with disabilities may think that's the case. I don't think so. So I think it's really assessing the needs, because every school is going to have their own individual needs, and then figure out, well, is it special education related? Is it IEP related? Is it programmatic related? Is it internal? So is it staff related? Is it more of a culture thing? So there's different ways. So it's like identifying, like, what do you want to get out of it? And then finding someone in that specific area that can help with it.
I think that's solid advice. I do think, even as I was asking it, I'm like, there's no one single answer, but I do think that that's a good answer. Like, looking inward and saying, well, what do you want to change? Because I think in talking to schools, that seems to be a big issue. They're like, well, I don't know where to start. Like, what do I do? And it's like, well, let's look and see where the biggest issue is first.
Sure. Yeah.
And then we can dive from there. But I like that advice of, you know, well, what do you want to be able to accomplish? And finding the voices and the perspectives to be able to facilitate that change, I think is equally as important. Finding the people who are experts and can say, like, this is what you shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, for sure.
Or this might work. Like, let's try it and getting the feedback from the community as well. I think that's great advice. So I want to thank you so much, Travis, for joining us today and telling us all about your work and your background and your experiences. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you so much, Katie, for having me. It was a joy to talk about my experiences, and I hope that your listeners can take away some good stuff from it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Assembling Inclusion Podcast. I hope the information in this episode taught you something new, gave you a new idea, or showcased a new perspective. If you liked the episode, feel free to leave us a review or comment. If you have a recommendation for an individual or an organization who would make a great guest, you can message us on Twitter or Instagram, or send us an email at assemblinginclusion@gmail.com. See you next time.